love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Just a minute.
Hi, Kate.
Trudy, come on in.
I was just packing a bag.
Oh, going somewhere?
Obviously. But it's no mystery. I'm going up to Belhaven tomorrow. I haven't been back in a while.
And you have a sudden urge.
Well, Isabel's still in London, and Mrs. Jessup's in the house alone. She's not young anymore.
No, it's all very sensible.
Right.
Well, that seems to end the discussion.
Well, now that we've two-stepped around,
who, or as my granddad used to say, whom are you kidding?
Nobody.
Nobody is right, least of all me. So Tony has made it impossible, huh?
Sort of. But I'm not running away. I just think it's a good time to go up to Belhaven and take care of a few things that need to be done.
Well, hooray for our side.
Well, better than shutting the door and dissolving in tears, right?
Ah, come on, Kate. Don't carry it too far. Any girl is hurt when she finds out that the man she's interested in is married.
I was hurt. I admit it. Not that I was so interested, but...
You weren't?
Oh, Trudy, I've just got to get my head together. Tony came on like a bolt out of the blue. He took over. He did things. He was difficult. But interesting. And I'd never met a man like him.
He was certainly interested in you, Kate. If you can believe any guy, which you obviously can't.
The funny thing is, in spite of the fact that he's married and that his wife is in town, I do find myself believing him.
Because you want to.
Maybe, but also because of the way he talks. As if he'd been hurt.
Oh, you mean the old one about not being understood?
No, he never said that. He never really ran her down. He just told me flatly what she wanted and why he had to see her.
Well, he can't avoid her if she's come home.
I don't think she's come home. She walked out 3 years ago. More likely passing through.
But she is here, honey.
At a hotel.
Well, it's tough. And it shouldn't have happened to a nice girl like you.
Nothing has happened.
Okay. Don't you realize you have been defending him?
I've got to be fair.
Why?
You have to be fair about people.
Now listen, either Tony is telling a neat little bundle of lies, in which case why be fair, or you've got a problem.
I'm not going to let it become a problem.
If he's telling the truth, he's not going to give you up, Kate. Maybe you'd better start telling yourself the truth.
I'm trying to.
You don't want to lose him, do you?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Kate. Forget Belhaven. Nobody's going to give you any prize for suppressing your feelings around here.
Could you give him up? I can do anything I have to.
Ah, but it wouldn't be easy.
No. It wouldn't be easy.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Darling, you're sweet to call, but you can't stay. I have an appointment with my husband.
Can't you see him through a lawyer, Claire?
My lawyer went to jail some time ago. He doesn't practice anymore.
He can still give you smart advice.
I don't need advice, Hugh. With your help, I can keep Tony exactly where he belongs.
You always were a clever woman.
Well, you've enjoyed my company.
You have brains and style. That's always pleasant to have around. You've come a long way when I think where you started.
Mm-hmm. As your secretary, Hugh. Remember? That little office on Claremont Street and the bright new salesman, Tony Cushing. And here we are, still a happy little threesome.
As I say, you're clever. Well, the house in Jamaica is open and fully staffed any time you want to go down.
Well, not next weekend. I'm going to the Benson anniversary party. Aren't you?
I never go to large parties.
Tony's going. I thought it would be amusing.
Why?
Jealous?
My God, no.
That's why I like you, Hugh. You are drained of all human emotions. I don't find Tony amusing, but I am curious about his new girl. I hear he has one.
I wouldn't know.
You have built a career on knowing everything and telling nothing. However, I can find out for myself.
I'll say good evening, Claire.
You wouldn't it be amusing if Tony really thought he was in love?
Not amusing. Annoying. His value to me is his total dedication to business.
Well, his value to me, too. Oh, excuse me just a minute. Yes? This is Mrs. Cushing. Ask him to come up in 5 minutes. It's Tony.
Well, enjoy yourself, Claire.
You could go out the side entrance and miss him.
I have no reason to avoid the people who work for me. Sometimes, Claire, you show a rather devious turn of mind.
And who encouraged me? Tony, darling.
Evening, Claire.
You just missed Hugh.
I never miss Hugh. If I had, I could have smelled those American Beauty roses across the street.
He came to pay his respects.
Well, I'm sure that's not his word.
Have a drink?
No, thanks.
Oh, I forgot. You never drink unless the moment is absolutely critical.
I never drink unless I'm enjoying myself.
Fair enough. You don't mind if I do?
Mm-hmm. Claire, why did you want to see me?
Well, I haven't seen you in 6 months, and that was only at that dull party in Rome. I mean, we haven't had a real talk for 3 years.
Yes, well, let's make it another 3 years.
You know, I didn't expect you to say that.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be nicer. You're looking handsome, as always. Now, what's this about?
I thought you'd be most anxious to talk to me. I understand you have a new girl.
I don't have anybody, not in that sense.
But apparently you've been most mysterious. You've quite disappeared, and nobody's even seen her.
Well, I can also saw her in half or pull her out of a hat. So what's on your mind, Claire?
I'm nearly broke.
That's hardly anything new.
Oh, Tony, you're doing fabulously. Everybody else is broke, but your company goes on conglomerating and expanding.
Oh, boy. Hugh is really useful to you, isn't he?
I'll continue to send you my bills, and I'd like a cost of living increase in my support. 20%.
And in exchange?
Your continued total unquestioned freedom, as always.
And that's your deal?
Well, I think it's a very fair one. After all, Tony, I practically made your business
That's
career.
That's a fiction you cling to. You were a secretary when we married.
Ah, but I knew the right people.
Those bums? I worked my tail off to get where I am.
And look at us now, darling. Brilliant success.
Claire. Claire, you don't need me or want me. Now, you name it, you can have it. This is no way to live.
Well, I think it's perfect. We never bother each other. And when we do, we make a handsome couple.
I want my freedom, Claire.
You don't mean a divorce.
That's exactly what I mean.
Oh, darling. You can't be serious.
How much do you want?
You are serious. Tony, there's nothing you could pay me. I like this arrangement.
It can't be any good for you. You're attractive. You must have met some guy.
Oh, several. But God forbid that I should marry any of them. I don't like marriage, Tony. It's confining and it's tedious. And I'm one woman honest enough to admit it.
Well, that's your problem. Mine is different.
You have met a girl.
Let's say I have.
Tony. Oh, no, Tony. Not you. The first day you were free, you'd come running back.
You feed yourself lies, Claire.
And you feed yourself illusion. Tony, we're a matched pair. Neither of us should be married. Have a drink with me, darling.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't tapped it for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
A very good day, my dear listeners. Your servant and author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray. Whilst engaged in the pursuit of writing, I am perpetually sidetracked by the dilemmas of my household. Today, the infernal chimney sweep failed to appear as promised. The result? The flues do not draw. In this unusually chill October, the fire in my grate is worth nothing. Poke it as I will. Ah. I do believe I shall thaw myself by kindling a fire between Rebecca and Rawdon. But not yet. I must first disclose the outcome of Becky's scheme to nip in the bud Miss Matilda Crawley's concern that her adored nephew may become dangerously interested in a mere governess. Becky reports now to her maid servant and confidant.
Ah,
All is well, Giles, so at least for now.
Oh, miss.
Oh, thank heaven Captain Rawdon said what I wanted him to say to Miss Crawley.
What I told him to say?
Yes, you did very well. Followed my orders perfectly.
And he followed my orders perfectly. How do you know?
I made sure. I saw to it. I was idling by the door when Miss Crawley came from the stables. To put her in a better humor, were she in a bad one, I was petting her spaniel. Oh, twice the little beast nipped me.
Oh, he's a nipper, he is. Miss Crawley saying he ain't. What did she tell you, ma'am?
Oh, it was hopeless getting anything out of her at first. That wretched little dog was more important. My dear Rebecca, you are quite... Oh, there's my precious poof-poof beginning. She's mamma, the little darling. Oh, he did, Miss Crawley, crying most pitifully, and I tried to comfort him. Oh, what did Captain Crawley say?
Does he want to get too sweet, sweet? Miss Becky, do run and fetch Poof a chocolate.
Oh, gladly, but you'd not want him to have too many, I'm sure. I've already given him three.
Oh, dear, that's quite enough.
No, Pepkin, mustn't be greedy. Miss Crawley, what does Captain Rawdon say?
Daniels are very tender, delicate little people, Rebecca.
Oh, yes, I know, and I'm most interested to hear what Captain Rawdon had to say.
Yes, of course, my dear, you are quite right. He is paying court to a lady in London.
How clever you were to guess it.
And I may tell you it disturbs me greatly that he kept the matter from me. He knows I must approve anyone for whom he entertains serious intentions.
Perhaps he didn't confide it because his love is very new.
I did say something of the sort, but I still find it very odd.
Did he tell you the lady's name?
Reluctantly. I had to ask him more than once. I find that very odd as well. She is Lady Blessington.
Oh.
Oh dear, he didn't mention her given name, but I believe it's Lady Isabel.
Oh.
I've not met her. So I established at once that she has a substantial dowry. Had she not, he would, of course, be obliged to give her up.
Of course. And was I right that he wishes to return to London and Lady Isabel?
He did speak of it when he said, all in a rush, don't find Miss Rebecca charming. Want to return to London, serious about a lady there.
That doesn't find me charming. You see, Lady Crawley, I was right.
Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry to have mentioned that embarrassing, painful, provoking subject. Do forgive me.
Oh, you're most kind. But it doesn't wound me at all.
Oh, yes, you yourself love another. All the same, I am put out with Rawdon. As I've said and said, what is wrong with a pleasant little flirtation to pass the time in the country? In any case, we didn't discuss you or his departure further, for Sir Pitt arrived and was outraged when I told him his son's disposition toward you.
Dear Sir Pitt.
Well, I'd not go that far. But I did rather admire the way he ranted, wouldn't even allow Rawdon to speak. I'd had more than enough myself. Both Pitt and I stumped off haughtily, leaving poor dear Rawdon quite limp, supporting himself on the gate. Oh, miss, it's all come out perfect.
Oh, not by any means. What's beginning between Rawdon and me is still fraught with danger. The way he looks at me, and he's not artful enough not to look that way. Oh, he must leave for London.
He'll do what you say, miss.
Is it what if Miss Crawley won't allow him to go?
Oh. Oh, did you give him three?
What?
Poof, poof. Three chocolates.
I talk about my first love leaving me, and you talk about poof, poof. No, I didn't give him three or any. He's fat as a sausage now. Giles, when you hid in the orangery, did you hear the pretty nonsense I spun about a soldier I love?
Oh, it was beautiful. And all the while the soldier was Captain Rawdon.
Oh, what if Miss C had caught on like you? And before I said he was a soldier, did you hear what he supposed? That only an apothecary, a curate, or a house steward was fit for Rebecca Sharp, governess.
It was all I could do not to pitch an orange straight at her. A prince is fit for you, the prince regent himself.
You'll pay for saying that, Giles. Pay more ways than one. Beginning tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight, after all are abed, I've an assignation in the orangery.
I said what?
Consult Mr. Johnson's dictionary. Assignation. An appointment for a lover's meeting.
Ah, the mere thought of that assignation warms the cockles of my heart, if not my hand holding this quill. Oh, yes, you'll pardon me a moment, dear listeners, while I agitate the useless coals in my grate. Welcome back, dearest friends. Now, where were we? Ah, yes. Becky dares not be present at dinner, lest Rawdon over soup, fish, fowl, roast, or dessert, or all five, should gaze upon her with such rapture that no one at the table could fail to see what must not be seen. Thus, Giles seeks out Rawdon with a message.
Captain, Miss Becky sends you not to worry. She'll sup with Lady Crawley in her rooms.
Why? All afternoon I waited to see her.
That's why, sir. She don't want you to look at her.
Don't want me to... I said what she wanted me to say, didn't I?
Oh, you did, sir. And she bids me thank you. But you mayn't look handsome if she's at table.
What?
Oh, I do get it all twisted round. She don't mean handsome like you are. Did she says you're that handsome no girl could say no to you.
I said that, did she?
He don't say no.
Oh, don't she? Says no to dinner. No, I'm not to look at her. No, I'm not to look handsome. Confound it. I understand not one word of this.
Not look at her, sir, with love in your look.
Oh, so that's it. I fear she's right.
So she'll stop with Lady Crawley, and after all her bed, she'll ask...
Now what?
Oh, it's a hard word said in somebody's dictionary. It means a lover's meeting in the orangery.
Assignation. Thank you, Giles. That much I understand.
Giles! Oh, it's Miss Crawley. I tell you, was asking me her whereabouts. Yes, ma'am, Miss Crawley.
This house is far too large. I've been looking everywhere for everyone.
It is, Auntie. I was just asking Giles where you were.
I'm here. Giles, where is your Miss... with Lady Crawley, ma'am. Well, go and fetch her. We're having sherry in the blue sitting room before dinner.
She's having dinner with her ladyship.
She's what?
Dining with my stepmother, Aunt Matilda.
Well, why should she do that? Lady Crawley weeps into her soup. Disgusting.
Her ladyship don't feel good, ma'am. And Miss Becky, so kind, is keeping her company.
If Miss Becky dined with her ladyship when her ladyship does not feel well, she would take all meals with her ladyship. Rawdon, go and tell Rebecca I want her at table. She brings such cheer to that dreary meal.
I'll go, Auntie, but Miss Rebecca may well say no.
To me?
To anyone. She does seem to have a mind of her own.
That she does. And I suppose that's why you're not keen on her. Men do loathe female persons with minds of their own.
Ah, my dear listeners, I am sorry. I promised you and myself that assignation in the orangery. How I do wander about with these characters of mine. Well, tomorrow perhaps, though I make no more promises. But I am, as always, your devoted, unpredictable servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast.
Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Have a dental appointment, then do a bit of shopping. Will you be all right?
Oh, I'll be fine. Seems ridiculous not to go to the office just because of a broken toe.
Oh, doctor said it was a funny break and to stay off it, which gives you a good opportunity to do what you promised me. We do this weekend and did not do. That's right, the Christmas cards.
Hmm? Yeah, I guess so. I'll put the stamps on the envelopes.
Well, you won't. I haven't bought them yet. Anyhow, that's the easiest part. Now, it's writing notes to people that's the hardest. Now, think how surprised and terribly pleased your old pals will be this year, hearing from you.
Well, they're certainly be surprised, that's for sure.
Well, write a few. And then if you get tired, the typewriter's right here. You can address a few cards.
You type the address? Oh, I should think Christmas cards are much more personal if you address them by hand.
Well, they may be more personal, but typing is easier to read for the post office, which is having enough trouble these days. Oh, and don't forget to put on the zip codes now. It's very
well, cool. Some of these addresses here don't have zip codes. Lots of them don't.
Well, that's because our friends didn't put them on in their last letter. So, then you have to look it up in the zip code directory.
What directory?
This right here.
This monstrous book is the zip code directory?
Yeah, I sent away for it 2 years ago.
Well, there's 1,694 pages in this directory.
Never mind that. Now, sometimes it's a bit complicated. You want me to show you how to look up a zip code?
I do think that I'm quite intelligent enough to be able to look up a zip code.
Oh, well, you try while I get my grocery list and get ready to leave. There, Linda Watkins Hess, 510 South Burnside, Los Angeles. Now, see if you can find her zip code, huh?
I bet this directory weighs 8 pounds.
You start by looking up California.
Yeah, I know where Los Angeles is. Let's see now, California, A, B, C, Anaheim, Bakersfield. For the love of Mike, there's 15 pages on Los Angeles, and it's just street numbers, 72 West, 109 East.
No. Look up the street name, South Burnside. What if I should clean my teeth again? I scrub my teeth better on the day I go to the dentist to get them cleaned than I do any other time.
There isn't any South Burnside. There
look
isn't
up
here.
Burnside.
Look
up Burnside.
What's the matter with the Postal Service anyway? Letters have been delivered for years without all this nonsense.
Several million more people do. Did you find Burnside?
Burnside. South. And it gives 3 different zip codes.
No, dear, it doesn't. Look at the top of the page, now, you see. Los Angeles always starts with 900.
Yeah.
Whatever the address is. So you look back down here, and what do you see?
I don't know. I just see a list of numbers.
Well, her number's 510, isn't it? So that means that 510 comes between 100 and 899. Therefore, her code is 90057. You understand? Do you understand?
Yeah, of course I understand.
All right, dear. Well, you just didn't look as though you did. You know?
Of course I understand. I just didn't realize the postal system is getting so complicated.
No, it is.
Hey, did you call the office?
Yes. Said you wouldn't be in. They said fine.
Fine?
Well, they understood, dear. Broken toe and all. They said not to worry. I guess they'll manage without you.
Well, that's the point. I guess one likes to think the office is going to fall apart if one is not there.
Well, I'll set the phone right near you, so if you want to call your office later on and see if it's falling apart. Oh, that must be Evie. I'm giving her a ride into town. I mean, hello. I'll be right... I'm sorry. Hello, Miss Perkins.
Oh, at least my secretary misses me.
No, he was just... Oh, he's fine. Yes. Yeah, everyone's asking about your broken toe.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, Miss Perkins. Well, I'm coming into town. Could I bring the report back?
What's the matter? Oh, my golly, the estimate I didn't finish.
No, well, I'll tell him to look for it then. All right, Miss Perkins. Uh-huh. Goodbye. Miss Perkins can't come out herself, so she's sending some girl from the typing pool or something now. You think I dare leave you alone with some strange girl coming out?
Oh, for Pete's sake, I got a broken toe.
Well, you don't have a broken arm. I'm leaving you alone with some bright young thing. You better have quite a few Christmas cards done when I get back, dear.
Your jealousy is very flattering.
Well.
Yes, I promise you I will work while you've gone.
Fine. Make sure it's on the Christmas card.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Come in. Come on right in.
Mr. Baxter, I'm Pat Healy from the office.
Oh, yes, yes. Come in, come in, come in. I've been expecting you. Miss Perkins called. Will you excuse me for not getting up?
How's the broken toe, Mr. Baxter?
I think I'm going to live. Now, have a chair, Miss Healy.
It's Mrs. Healy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Healy.
Well, actually, I'm divorced.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not. He was a heel. I told him he was just like his name. Healy? Heel?
Oh, yeah. Well, you brought a report from the office?
Oh, yes, right here.
Oh, thank you.
My, you certainly have a lovely home.
Oh, thank you. If you'll excuse me while I glance over this.
Of course, of course. My goodness, doing your Christmas cards already? I haven't even thought of them.
Well, my wife and I decided for once we'd get them done early.
Aren't you wonderful to help your wife do the Christmas cards? Most husbands just leave the whole thing for their wives to do.
Well, as a matter of fact...
I think it's wonderful of you. I really do. Oh, I'm bothering you. Go ahead and read the report. Miss Perkins said to sign it, too, after you've made any corrections.
Yeah, I will. Could I offer you some tea or coffee?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid it'll be easier if you fix it yourself. The kitchen's right up there.
No, I'm fine. But instead of just sitting here, couldn't I type up some of the envelopes for you? I mean, you've got your Christmas list right here, and the typewriter, and the envelope.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that.
No, I'd like to. I would. I really would. Now, you go right ahead and work on your report. Just don't pay any attention to me.
Yes, you don't need to help me with
anything. Well, I want to. Any husband who is nice enough to help his wife with all the work of Christmas cards deserves some help himself. And I'm being paid by the hour anyway, so you do your office report and I'll just start on these envelopes. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Collins, 392 Broadview. My husband never helped me with anything. I'd bring a carload of groceries home, but do you think that lazy bum would even help me unload the car?
Mrs.
Nothing.
Not once
in our 3 years of married life did he even offer to wipe dishes. Not once.
Look, if this is...
Don't pay any attention to me. Mr. and Mrs. George Ellis, 295. Never gave me a corsage at Easter. Ann Arbor, Michigan. And never once remembered my birthday.
Look, Mrs. Healy, I...
You know something? I love him. I still love him. Oh, it's just once he offered to help me. The way you help your wife. I think it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Look, Mrs. Healy, if nothing else, you're getting the Christmas cards all wet. And the envelope.
I'm very sorry to go on like...
No, that's all right. I understand.
No, you don't understand.
Okay, I don't. But just the same...
I'm very sorry. This was quite inexcusable. Please forgive me.
Now, look, I've signed the report, and I'll call Miss Perkins, and I think if you get this back to the office now...
No. There are two reports for you to work on. There's the other. And just obey the attention to me. I'm all right now. I really am. I really am.
Well, okay. I'm sorry about the...
No, I'm fine. You work on the report. I'll keep on with your Christmas envelope. Mr. and Mrs. Carter Jones... And I'll look up your zip code, too.
Mr.
think we can mail these envelopes. They look as though we'd left them out in the rain.
She offered to iron them, but I didn't know where the iron was.
And look at the typing, the mistakes. Minneapolis, Missouri?
I told you she was terribly upset.
Des Moines, Idaho? She's got question marks instead of commas, and some of her zip codes run up to 10 letters.
She was upset, but she insisted on helping, and since she was crying silently, I suppose her eyes were blurred.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I've got this whole story straight.
Now, look, it was just out of the blue. She was so impressed to think I was helping you with the Christmas cards, and it seems her ex-husband never helped her with anything, and she still loves him, but he never wiped dishes or put groceries away or carried her suitcase, so in comparison, she thought I was... wonderful.
Would you like my opinion?
Well, it's the truth.
Honestly, Minneapolis, Missouri. Des Moines, Idaho.
Why do all these nutty things ever happen to me?
Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
All passengers wishing transportation to downtown Chicago will find limousines and taxis on a lower level.
Yes, Caroline, the Zurich flight was on time. Holding them up? Well, customs, I imagine. They should be here soon. Yes, dear, I will be on my best behavior. Have you ever known me to be otherwise? Well, we'll discuss that another time. Oh, honey, I see them now. All right, now, goodbye.
Daddy! Oh, Daddy, I knew you'd be here.
Oh, Lynn, baby.
Oh, and this is Kurt. Curtis Rogers, Daddy.
How do you do, Mr. Carter? Oh, well, young man, you've no idea how much I've wanted to meet you.
Thank you, sir.
You had a good trip?
Oh, just wonderful. Where's Caroline?
Oh, she's home rolling out the red carpet, I presume.
I look forward to seeing her again.
Well, shall we move on? The car's outside and we don't want to get a ticket. Here, let me help you with your bags.
Oh, this is all you've got?
I travel light, sir. Oh, well, yes. I thought after all that time you were in Zurich, you would...
Kurt, darling, wait until you see River Run.
Well, you wait here, and I'll go bring the car up.
Your father doesn't have a chauffeur?
No. He's too independent for that.
Oh, I see.
And Caroline uses one. I don't think she ever learned to drive. Oh, darling, you can't imagine how wonderful it is. You here? We're here in Chicago.
How soon do you think we can get married now that we're here?
Oh, very soon. But you do have to meet the family first, you know.
Of course.
Hey, come on, you two.
Come on. Let's keep Daddy in a good mood.
My idea exactly.
I'm in here, Aunt Angela.
Hello, Pumpkin.
Daddy, you're home. Where's Mom? Hello, Aunt Angela.
Hello, Susie.
I got your note. Where's Mom?
Well, honey, you see, she had a bad headache, so we stopped off at Jefferson.
You mean she's back in the hospital?
Just for the night, Susie. She'll be home tomorrow or the day after.
What's the matter? You're keeping something from me.
No, honey. It's just like your Aunt Angela said.
I don't believe you. You knew she was back in the hospital when you wrote the note, didn't you, Aunt Angela?
Susie,
didn't you?
Now, Susie, don't talk to your aunt like that.
Susie, I did know it, but Dr. Foster said there was no need to worry you.
When are you going to treat me like a member of the family?
Now, Susie, honey, you're making too much out of this.
If there's nothing wrong with Mom, why does Aunt Angela have to go running off when Dr. Foster calls?
Look, Susie, it would have been too hard to explain in the note.
I think there are a lot of things that are hard to explain.
Young lady, I think you'd better go upstairs until you can behave yourself.
Please, Jason. Susie has a right to be upset.
But she doesn't have a right to attack you after all you've done for her, for us.
Daddy, please, don't you understand? You're both talking about me as if I were some dumb kid. Or too young, maybe. And you have to protect me.
Well, your attack on your aunt doesn't convince me you're very grown up.
Please, now look, both of you.
What about Mom?
Yes.
She really is all right, Susie.
Then why is she in the hospital?
Well, you see, just as we were leaving to come home from the cabin, she got one of those headaches she's been getting lately, and it persisted, so I thought it best to stop at the hospital.
It's just a headache, you're sure?
Yes, she'd forgotten to take her medicine, you see.
Oh, I see. Did you have a good time at the cabin?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, we had a wonderful time. I think the best time we've ever had.
Internal clock is still on Zurich time, 2:00 in the morning.
Well, you can catch up tomorrow, Lynn.
Oh, yes, sir.
You're quite sure it's not the company.
Oh, Daddy. If it were the company, I'd go out and help Ann and Caroline get Kurt settled.
And I must say, Ann was most gracious about moving out of the guest cottage for Kurt.
Oh, Kurt is so charming, it's hard not to be gracious.
Well, he doesn't quite have that effect on me.
Daddy, how do you like him?
Oh, he's very personable.
The way you say that.
Well, after all, Lynn, I've only known him for an hour or so.
Well, you'll have plenty of time.
What are your plans?
You didn't notice my ring?
Oh, yes, after Caroline called my attention to it.
You do know what it means.
It would have been nice if you'd waited until I'd met Curtis.
Why? I'm the one that's going to marry him.
Yes, but how much do you know about him?
Well, why ask me? You had your Herr Hoffman check him out in Zurich.
Well, Hoffman didn't have much time. The report's rather slim. It's lacking in substance. Which strikes me as being rather appropriate.
Now, stop that, Daddy. Kurt is here now, and you have a chance to judge him for yourself.
Well, Bill's reaction wasn't too far from mine.
What? You're telling me that you and Bill discussed the man I'm going to marry?
Oh, well, then he was in the office when Herr Hoffman called, and Bill is still concerned about you, Lynn.
Well, he has no right to bother himself with my life. He's showing more interest in me than he did when we were married.
Maybe the people who care about you wouldn't worry so much if they thought you knew what you were doing.
I do know what I am doing.
Flying off to Zurich to bring back a fiancé hardly comes
under... Things are different, Daddy. Kurt doesn't think any less of me because I went to Zurich.
How can you be sure of that?
I know. By the way he treats me.
Oh,
well, but how else do you know things about people, Daddy.
I don't know. I just wish you knew him longer.
That would change absolutely nothing.
You know, jet lag isn't the only time problem your generation has. You think you can compress a lifetime of experience into a few weeks and come up with all the answers.
Maybe. But if I don't live my own life the way I want to, how will I learn anything?
Well, at least you didn't rush into a second marriage yet. There's still time.
It was close, though.
What do you mean?
If we could have gotten married in Zurich, we would have.
Lynn, you're not serious.
Absolutely, Daddy. The only reason we're here right now is so that we can get married soon. The sooner, the better.
Honey, I thought maybe we could talk better here.
Oh, sure, Daddy.
Honey, I know that you're worried about your mother.
How can you blame me? You go off for a vacation, and Mom has to go into the hospital when she comes back.
Well, I just want you to understand that we're not deliberately shutting you out just because you don't get the latest bulletins.
I suppose so. I did blow up, didn't I?
Well, yes, I think you can say that, honey. How has Jennifer been?
She's okay. She's got a kitten, you know.
Yes, named Charlie. Susie, is there anything else bothering you?
What do you mean?
Well, you and Angela have always been good friends until lately. Has anything happened?
Nothing new, Daddy.
I see. Has Betsy been talking about her mother and father?
About the same, I guess.
And, what Betsy's mother has to say about your Aunt Angela bothers you, huh?
Well, I don't blame Aunt Angela. But, Daddy, what's going on? I don't understand anything anymore.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.